that the responses that were provided, particularly to concerns that were raised by the Auditor General, were inadequate, and that we've requested the entities to go back and refine their responses so that they can revert back to us with more information that would satisfy us in terms of the mandates that they have to implement. So we would listen to the State Diamond, to the regulator, and I'm not sure if you did bring your annual report with you, if there's any other matter pertaining to the regulator that you would still want to address over and above the submission that they are going to make in response to those areas that were raised by Auditor General. After that, we have requested them to also appraise us on their strategic plan going forward. They will take us through that. Yes, let's hand over to you, State Demonstrator, Regulator.
Chairperson, honourable members, on behalf of the incumbent chairperson, Mr. Steve Pirin, who has recently been appointed the CEO of the Bafokeng Anglo Platinum Joint Venture, he's taken up this new role. Firstly, I would like to apologize on his behalf. And standing in this morning in his place, I would like to introduce Mr. Levi Rapport, the newly appointed CEO of the South African Diamonds and Precious Metals Regulator, to take us through the report and to take questions that you may have.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honourable members, and thanks, colleague from the board. As Mr. Llewellyn has already said, I resumed these responsibilities from the 2nd of February this year. And as I started, I just landed on issues that were still outstanding from the last engagement with the Portfolio Committee, and I would like to start with those issues to show how they were addressed. The annual plan was interrogated fiercely last year, and there are 10 issues that the Portfolio Committee was not happy about, and they wanted to know what action was taken. Now, I'm going to take you through 10 slides which addresses those issues which have been addressed. The first one, which was the finding of the Auditor General, was the irregular expenditure. And that finding was that there was failure to follow the process of advertising the internal audit and consulting services, which was vacated by an internal auditor who was permanently employed, and there was a need to source as a matter of agency, but the procedure was not followed. Now, the recommendation from the Auditor General was that we seek ratification from the Department of National Treasury. I can report to this day that I have personally done that, made sure that that happened. A letter requesting that ratification has been written to the Director General of the National Treasury. And that letter was dated 29 April 2010. The second finding was there was a donation that were received on behalf of the Department of Minerals Resources, and with this, there was an account that was opened for this. And the finding on this was that this was not supposed to have happened. And the recommendation was that the regulator to communicate the contravention with the DMR and recommend that the unspent portion of the sponsored fee received be paid into the relevant revenue fund. I'm mentioning the account here because it's going to link with one of the slides, because they are together. In fact, it was just that it was repeated in this form. I can report that the regulator no longer receives donations on behalf of the DMA, and the account has also been closed. It will repeat itself because that is how it was put by the Auditor General. That finding number three, irregular expenditure on the opening of the account, is linked to that very second one that I just alluded to. And the recommendation of the Auditor General was that to pay the unspent portion of sponsorship amount into a relevant revenue fund, which is exactly the same like the previous one. And I can report that I personally have signed the closure of that account, and that account has been closed. As of 30 March 2010, has been closed. It does not exist anymore. The fourth one finding was a major decision were taken without the formation of a quorum, and these were reflective of our audit committee of the board. And the recommendation was confirmation of a quorum should be included as part of the agenda for each meeting. And the chairperson should verify that the quorum as the charter has been met. Charter must be reviewed to ensure the committee is able to meet its requirements in terms of its composition. And I can report that this issue has been addressed, Chair. The audit charter was amended as per the recommendation. And all audit committee meetings held during the 2009 financial year met quorum requirements. This recently has been revisited to make sure that the adherence to that for this financial year is maintained. The fifth finding was that no compliance with legislation, which actually was referring to that the risk assessment was not performed. The risk register. The recommendation was that the risk register be prepared as per the risk management plan of the SAD Premier and be regularly reviewed and updated. I can report, Chair, that a risk assessment has been prepared. The divisional risk and top 10 organizational risks have been sent to the audit committee for recommendation to the board. It's a process that is not yet finalized, but it has been done by the organization. It's awaiting necessary approval by the relevant authorities. Still on the fee finding 5.2, it's about the chain supply management. There was no chain supply management. And I think decision was just taken apparently, but a recommendation was made to this effect that the supply chain management unit should be established within the organization, particularly taking into account the size of the organization. An existing staff member may be delegated, that was the recommendation, to perform the supply chain function together with the existing duties. I can report that the procurement officer was actually appointed before I actually resumed the duties, and I can also confirm and reaffirm that I personally made sure that we have established a bid adjudication committee which consists of managers, and decisions that are going to be taken are going to be informed by this committee. Still on the fee finding 5.3, there was a concern that the board members were not declaring their interest. And the recommendation was that all audit committee members adhere to the organizational audit charter by ensuring that all members are independent by obtaining and bringing all independent declarations. I can also report that I have witnessed this change. All committee and board members at the beginning of every financial year, they declare their interest and it's recorded in the minutes of the board. Still on the number five, the late submission of strategic plan and budget. The recommendation was management to put process in place to ensure compliance with the treasury regulations and make possible arrangements to adhere to their submission deadlines. Where an extension for approval has been granted by the executive authority, management should be reaching correspondence for this regard. The current strategic plan that we will later present here was submitted on time, was submitted on the 30th of September last year, and I can also report that that strategic plan together with the budget for the 2010-2030 financial year were approved on the 6th of April by the Honourable Minister of Mineral Resources. So that lake has also been addressed and it will be maintained. That is all that was supposed to be addressed for those outstanding issues of the Auditor General findings on the annual report, Chair. Thank you very much. I can take questions on that if there are any questions, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any additions? You fine. Okay. Honourable members, there you are. Let's engage with the submission.
Thank you very much. Just a question of clarity on slide 5.2. It reads an existing staff member may be delegated to perform blah blah blah. What does that mean? Who is the existing staff member? And I see the explanation on the right hand side, but there's a CEO.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think by the time when this audit finding was made and the recommendation was done, the feeling of the Auditor General was that because the process of appointment takes time, an internal staff member should be appointed to oversee. There was such a thing that happened, but what I reported is because there's a total solution which was put into place to be permanently responsible for that. But there was a person appointed who overseas there because that's a permanent appointment. Sorry for not highlighting that correctly. But I think the Auditor General meant that somebody must be appointed at that time.
Thank you. Anything else?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the presentation today. On the audit findings on the mitigation by management, findings number 5, the question of clarity as well is that the action that was taken, all committee and board members have declared their interest for the 2008-2009 financial year. Is it going to be an ongoing declaration, or maybe it was just 2008-2009?
Thank you, Honourable Member. Maybe Honourable Member missed it when I it has been reported every beginning of the financial year. They meet the board members and it's reported in the minutes of the board. Thank you.
Honourable Lucas.
Just for clarity, I see here on the page the finding 2. Donations that were received on behalf of the Department of Mineral Resources. When was that?
Honourable Member, this happened the last year during the 2009.
Department of Mineral Resources. In that year, there was Department of Minerals and Energy. Now, Department of Mineral Resources has only been established recently. So that's what's confusing.
Okay. Well, I accept that. I think we are being influenced now by the separation that we report now to the DMR. Now, I take it as just a type of mistake, and I take the blame.
Okay.
Okay.
On your first response in terms of the findings, you say that a letter requesting for ratification of the irregular expenditure was sent to National Treasury on the 29th of April. What is the response of National Treasury? Did they therefore condone that irregular expenditure, or are we still sitting in a situation where it's still regarded as an irregular expenditure?
Thank you, Chairperson. Since we haven't had any response from National Treasury, I would gather that it still stands as an irregular until such time that it has been ratified.
You see, the dilemma we have is that precisely last time we could not find our way through in accepting your annual report because of this matter that we are spending. It would appear, though, that your reaction was triggered by the knowledge that you would be coming and approaching Parliament. It was 29th of April, a few days ago. Meanwhile, we sent you back months ago. Now, we're not sure whether to speculate here that National Treasury is going to ratify this irregular expenditure or not. And at what stage and juncture would we be clarified on that? Because indeed, National Treasury, if the letter was sent on the 29th, we are now on the 5th. It's out, we have 3 days, 2 or 3 days. And in any event, as you well aware, government turnaround time are so long. And why was this the case? Because we would have expected that immediately going back, the regulator would sit down and look at what are the concerns that were raised by the portfolio committee. Why was our annual report rejected? And indeed, immediately embark on taking remedial action. But here, you say here your letter was sent on the 29th of April. Can you clarify, so that was this letter followed by any interaction with responsible officials of National Treasury, so that you can get a sense of what is to be expected?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm not going to see Chair excuse you, but as I've alluded from the beginning that I found these things and I had to see to it that they've been addressed. Yes, the 29th is not far away, but all these issues I had to take the responsibility, and I'm not going to pass the blame. I think the responsibility is now that these things could have been done long ago, but I made sure, as I've already told you, when my exception was to the organization, but I made sure that, amongst others, I made sure that these things were addressed. And all I can just plea and request is, whenever, as soon as possible, I get the response, I will have to pass it to the honorable members, to the honorable chairperson, the outcome of. Thank you,
Chair. Does this mean, I will note you, Honorable Soto, does this mean that before you joined the regulator, there was no CEO, there were no accounting officers in the institution? Because surely tomorrow you can be run down by a car. And does that mean, therefore, that the institution will go into the conflict with you? I'm just asking this because also you are not on your own, you are together with other members of the board. And we want to know, because it can be you take from where someone has left over, but then the institution has been there. The institution was found wanting by Parliament, that it could not satisfy Parliament on very serious matters raised by the Auditor General. And yet you come back with an answer that still raises questions. What is the role of the other people in the SDA?
There was that in note, I think I'm not alone. I'm with some of the responsible managers, and I think I would like them to fill in. Please help me.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. Regarding this matter on the Auditor General finding, we relied too much on the CFO of the organization. When this matter was deliberated last year for the PDC, there were opinions that this matter can be ratified by the board instead of the finance DG from Treasure. We went to the DMR, we got some opinion from DMR and they told us that the only way that this matter can be condoned is only to go to the Treasure. And therefore, after that, we decided that we had to go to the Treasure. It was delayed by the fact that the CFO was of the opinion that it should go to the board. And the board meeting was supposed to take place during early in March. So that made the matter to be delayed due to those opinions.
Honorable
Chairperson, thank you very much. Am I right when I think that some of the actions taken here are still as they were when the finding was made? I am saying that on the observation, that I've made on finding number two, the unspent portion should be returned or should be paid into the relevant revenue fund. All that was done there was just to close the account. Nothing is mentioned, and even finding number three, I think it's the same thing, and finding number five, that's where I'm basing my assertion. The divisional risks and top 10 organizational risks have been sent to the audit committee for recommendations to the board. What is the outcome? The action is still continuous. What is the outcome? Because that is what would satisfy the committee to say that what has been found has been addressed. The action has addressed that. But what we see here is what was done. It's the intent to address. It's not suggesting that the matter has been addressed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honorable member. If I may start with that first one of the donations, the process that followed was that the account, before it could be closed, the money was all of it was taken and redistributed into the revenue of the organization, and then the account was closed. It's a process. It's a one process. You remove them and you close the account. Because there was still money. The founding was that there was still money. That is how they found it. But they have been removed and deposited to the revenue. That is the first one.
I just want to ask you, because when you take out the money and close the account, it doesn't suggest that without being said, it has been sent to the to the relevant fund. Without being said.
Okay, sir. I should have put it clear. The second one, the finding altogether, there appears there was no register. The risk register was not there. That is why it was established. That's number one. That has been done. It was not existed, now it is existing.
But now the risk register is like your environmental management program. It's a live document throughout the thing. So it is in the process, yes, of but the first part, which of that the non-existence has been addressed. Now it is following the process of being legitimized, being validated by the relevant groups.
For you, Chair?
So I'm right, the process is still as it was when the filing was made. Only safe to say that there's a register.
Yes, that makes it a difference. It's not as it was, because now the register has been established.
Okay.
It has been established. That's a fact. In fact, now it's in the process of the... So it is honorable member, not the same as it was, because it has been established.
Honorable Jenna.
Oh, thank you, Chair. Chair, I just need clarity. I'm not too clear for that. That the board met in March. I think, that's the answer that was given. The board met in March, but still, up to now, nothing has been said. No briefing, nothing. Which means you cannot tell us anything. You're referring to the gentleman there.
Honorable member, I know you wanted him to respond. Maybe. Yahoo alluded to the board. Can I also just report that was my first board meeting, where there were still other issues like this very one that is a burning issue that is still live. And that is from there that action was taken, which I too helped to make sure that letter of ratification was sent out. And as a departure process, dependent on the board, the resolution to approve, on the advice of DMR that it should actually be national session. And I took that from there. And that already started in the organization.
The person what I don't understand is he has just come in when did you start?
First of February.
And nothing we hear from the people who were here, the CEOs and all the other members. So the blame is taken by you, whereas they are the people who should be telling us, who should be answering this question. I just don't understand.
In your response on finding number 4, in terms of the action, you say all audit committee meetings held during 2008-2009 financial year met quorum requirements. The annual report we were looking at is precisely that one of 2008-2009. That statement not misleading, because the findings of the auditor general were that you did not meet your quorum in the meeting in that particular year, and yet you say in terms of your actions you met quorum.
This is a type of error. It's a type of error.
Oh. What is the real situation?
It's 2009 after those findings and after the concern. This thing was addressed by making sure that the quorum was met of all the committee members. And this is reflective to the minutes of the committee.
It's because we're teasing these matters out, because when you come before Parliament, these proceedings are recorded. When the matter leaves us and it goes to structures such as COPA, we will be called to clarify certain things. That's why when you come to the forum, you must make proper preparation. Because we don't want to speculate on your answers and deal with, because these are official matters. indeed, you've got to be very vigilant that if you want your work to be accepted at this level, it must be, you know, work that went through your structures properly. Because you see, when the Auditor General raises something and you are saying, yes, I acknowledge that, yes, there was this shortcoming, but in your action, you say, no, all meetings, you know, did correct. It's something that I'm just raising. I knew that indeed you didn't mean 2008, 2009, but then it suggests short work in terms of your preparation for your presentation that you bring to us. Honorable members here must tease you out in terms of more explanation on responses that you are giving, instead of you volunteering with information that is required, so that we don't spend unnecessary time, you know, discussing around one and the same issue. Because the end result of that is that we may think that you're not sure of what you are saying to us. And if you yourself are not sure, how sure can we be? Because we're not running the institution of the ground. You are running the institution. So I think we need to be very careful on this. Honorable Schmidt.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I think it's been touched on twice, but, you know, this is the South African Diamond, well, the Precious Metals Regulator. You should be setting an example. And, you know, it's not good enough, with due respect. When you expect exactness from applicants and or regulating the industry, that you, on a very cursory note, I mean, it's nearly the style in which you take note, inform the Portfolio Committee on issues which I think need more discussion or more embroidery, a better explanation. And I take the point raised on my left. There are two instances where it is said that the money has to be paid to the DMR, but you don't address those issues. We still don't know what's happened to that money. You don't state in this document that it has been paid to the DMR. We hopefully believe you when you say it has been paid to the DMR, but it doesn't state in this document. The issue, what is raised by the AG, is not the issue which you deal with in your document. That's a concern. It looks like a document which you kind of prepared yourself, notes to come and brief this committee, but it's not good enough to do this thing, especially when you're the regulator. That's my concern. It's a kind of a football approach. I'm saying a kind of approach where you kind of say, oh well, you know, this is just the motion we go through. And that's my concern.
All I just want to say, pointing to what you were saying, which I'm not sure before.
Thank you.
Just a quick one, Chair. How long should we wait, therefore, for these issues to be for a presentation that would say these issues have been addressed, not to hear that we're still awaiting a recommendation from the board, we're still waiting for the letter and all that? Because that is where the uncertainty comes as to whether these processes are being addressed. Yes, we believe that remedial actions or corrective actions are taken on this matter. But how long should we wait, therefore, as the committee, to be assured that these matters have been addressed?
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think, and this is my opinion on that. I think the rest, particularly that we are waiting for National Treasury on that other issue. Yes, we are going to make a follow-up. I think if we could just ask for a reasonable time of, including this month, 60 days, which will be able to tune the line. I report fully on this. I'm not sure whether I sent them out to you, but I thought because it would be our international treasury to ratify that. That is the biggest one. The other one internally would not be a problem. We'll just track it with the committee and the next board meeting. That thing, this thing will be done. But the one that I'm having a problem to give a precise time. But the internal one, in the next board meeting, it will be concluded. Thank you, Chair.
Can we ask Honorable Honoru?
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a plea to this today's admin here with regard to this report that, you know, I'll plead to them that next time when they give us such a report, at least they should be elaborate. Like, for instance, on your actions that you took, on your findings from the Auditor General. But really, I'll agree with my colleagues here in that, you know, the actions that were taken actually just explained briefly, that it's not enough for another member actually to understand. So next time I'll want to be very elaborate so that, you know, your actions, your response to the findings are understood broadly by honourable members. Thank you very much.
Can we understand that this juristic person, as established in terms of law, is it properly established? Do you have a board that is properly constituted in terms of the law? And that do you have functionaries as required to can be able to run this institution? You know, I'm raising this because the Act expects you to undertake certain functions. We are being approached by the industry on various occasions in terms of difficulties and problems that they have. You are supposed to promote the diamond industry. There are challenges in the industry, we know. Because if we don't know it, we won't be discharging our duty. Now, when we look at an institution like yourself, who is responsible to regulate the industry, and define the responsibility, those kinds of responses, and there are these challenges that are thrown into our way from time to time. I don't know how many small, and new entrants, you know, entrepreneurs that have vented their frustration in terms of them not being able, you know, to find the necessary assistance, even at a level of a regulator. Hence, I'm asking. Are we talking here of an institution that is fully functional, that is properly established in terms of the law, so that we can then, because we're going to listen to your stuff then. Because it's pointless for you to give us nice, grand, futuristic approaches, whereas currently you are unable to discharge your responsibilities. Can you address us on that? So, for instance, you don't have your CFO with you. There are questions that are related to finances, and I'm sure when you go to your first plan, we're going to be interrogating you on those matters as well. And yet, you do not have the personnel that handles day-to-day, running of those divisions within your institution. Can you satisfy us in terms of what are your challenges? In as far as your, legal expectations are concerned.
Thank you very much. Let me first address your last statement about the absence of the CFO. And, we didn't apologize because I thought that the NGCFTCO, given that period, that those finances will be reflected this year, would be able to answer those. But the reason why he's not here is because the Auditor General is there at our office in auditing now. And as you know, that the CFO is a key asset into the audit, the whole audit process. I thought that he should remain. But with amongst that, we also have our internal auditor who was actually appointed to replace that we talked about before. So I thought that these are key people that were having some of the issues, of course, I think I will be able to address, which affect. And let me come again to our mandate as an organization. Yes. This organization is a fully fledged and appointed in terms of law organization, with a full fledged board and its committees. But I must say, and thanks for articulating like that before we go to the strategic document itself. The current strategic document, which has been approved with its budget by the department, was submitted, I think, before the key priority. Government key policy objectives were identified last year. And when I started my duties, this is one of the assignments that I was given, to look into this document as to whether it speaks to the government mandate and the government objectives. One of the things that I must confess is that I realized that there were gaps and there were loopholes, and it was not speaking to those. And as I presented, you will see, you will realize that there is colors, flags. Those color flags are issues which were not flagged in the original document that it was submitted for approval. But it's issues when I looked into the assignment that I was given, thought that this is how the thing would be read. Now, I couldn't change this document because it's an approved document, but I could just indicate that this is how things were supposed to. It still does not talk to the key government priorities, but we try to align. And as I said, it's a document that was already submitted and has been approved. I can't change it. But I thought that it would be proper. When I present it, I don't present it as it is, as I've already realized its greatness. But then I have to identify. But at the end of it, I have identified one of the issues that could actually address those issues that you addressed about the complaint, and particularly the entry of those people who have previously disadvantaged to enter this. So there's a key focus that at the end of that, I will say this is what I'm going to focus during this year to make sure that we also make an impact to the government key priorities. That's all I can say for now.
I think I like the frankness that you are approaching the matter with. And fine, I think let's see what is in the document, and we then take the matter forward. But I see a hand from Honourable Lucas.
I'm a bit confused at the moment because by default, we become linked to this document. And I'm very scared now, because every time, and the honesty is one of the best things. And as a regulator, I think we expect much more of it, much more. Because their duties are very, very, we expect, that's why the formation of a regulator is to help us regulate. And this document has come to us, and we've listened to it, and we've made input. If we didn't, we could have accepted this document, and we would be in deep trouble. So I'm really worried. I don't know what can be done.
No. I think part of our responsibility is exactly as you say. We can't just take anything and everything that comes our way. We need to scrutinize, effect changes, and then once we are satisfied, we then ratify. So I think what I would suggest we do, if there are no further questions on the responses. We then link our deliberation on those responses to their threat plan, because I would want to see whether going forward there are some lessons drawn from the previous annual report in drafting the threat plan going forward, which I think the CEO is saying in the short space of time that he has been appointed, in looking at this document, approved as it is, he has identified certain gaps and that could not find his way through in tampering with the document. I think, yes, that's where we will tamper with that document, because we will not accept something that we believe is not talking to your mandate. And you will then be assisting us in the areas that you have already yourself identified in this first plan. And I think one of the members, based on that, we would then be in a position to say, one, the areas that still need further response, they must then in writing reply to Parliament on those areas, because for now they have narrowed the gap from last time to now, let alone the fact that we have to tease them out in terms of some of the key responses. But two, so that we move on, two, we then look at that plan, and if we are happy with changes that we want to make, we effect those changes, and then because that's what we'll oversight them on. Because these two institutions are the first ones when we leave this parliament to go to. Because I was tempted to read your mandate in terms of the act. That's how, we feel that things are not well in the running in the diamond industry, and that we can't leave it open like that. We need to intervene at some stage and ensure that you basically conform to your mandate. But I would say, I'll save us time, but I think you need yourself and your board to consult the act. When we land there, we will be really looking at, are you meeting the requirements of the law strictly? Because I think, as members have said, from the regulator, we're expecting much more, because you are sitting in a similar position as us when it comes to the industry. So therefore, you can't forward at all. And now we understand why there are these challenges in the industry. Both the established producers and players in the industry and those new entrants are vehemently complaining, to a point where I'm contemplating that at one stage I'll have to open up public hearings about the diamond industry, because we can't allow it to be handled in the manner in which it is handled now. And my view that the whole question of beneficiation, we basically are hoping that the regulator is going to assist the state diamond trader going forward, so that we're sure that the establishment of the beneficiation industry does come off the ground and it does answer the very serious question in the country. Because when was it? Yesterday or today, when the rate of unemployment was released by the state of South Africa, today, and we're told that it's increased and it's escalating, and then we can't, as a country, sit and fold our arms and simply be satisfied with having each other on niceties. We will have to push to a point where if people can't do their jobs, sure, they can't do that. And let's look at what the law says to us. How do we remedy that kind of a situation? So indeed, we would deal with that situation. So, but let's move on. Honorable Schmidt?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Now that you've dealt on the issue, and I didn't know we'd move that direction, but Mike, I have a real concern about the diamond industry, which will probably hopefully be highlighted during the course of this morning. But I do not see, and my suspicion is that there's no frankness by entities such as yourself, a state diamond trader, and may I add, with due respect, some businesses out there, communicating with the minister and the department exactly the problems they are experiencing. I get the impression that everyone is vying for his own job, he's making sure that he does what is expected of him, but he's not going the extra mile in indicating that this diamond industry at the point, and the way it's going now, is worse off than it was 2 years ago, before the State Diamond Trader and the Precious Metals Regulator came into force. And I'm saying so with due respect, but, and I'm saying, and it's not only entities such as yourself, it's business out there, of course, tell the minister what she wants to hear, but I think there needs to be a frank discussion. You've got a duty, you've got a fiduciary duty to inform the department and the minister where this industry is heading for. And it's not heading up, with due respect. And I say so, not to make a statement. I think the chairman has alluded to it. And I've spoken to some of the role players out there, and it's amazing how many people inform you. We're not bound to information coming from this portfolio committee. The industry out there communicates with us. And an impression I'm at the moment is that the entities are not doing their bit to inform the minister honestly and without regard to their own position where this industry is heading for. And I hope it leads to more active involvement from your point of view, because you're sitting in a position where you can influence proposed amendments to the Diamond Act, which I am advised there's an informal draft somewhere in the process. And if there is, we'd like to know. And input from yourself is of crucial importance to make sure that the diamond industry turns around. Can I just say why I say so? Someone phoned me yesterday, or I phoned someone in preparation for this meeting. And they said they gave me the following figures, and they have no reason to give me wrong figures. Botswana started a beneficiation strategy 2 years ago. They've got between 1,600 and 2,000 diamond cutters and polishers, I am made to believe. I can't say so, but I am made to believe. We had 4,500 at one point in time. We're down to allegedly 800. Madagascar has apparently started their own beneficiation of diamonds. They have 800, as many as we do, which is a diamond producing company. And I'm not aware, I can't say whether Madagascar has produces diamonds of the same scale, if any. But if Madagascar can have 800 diamond cutters and polishers, if Botswana started 2 years ago and have between 1,600 and 2,000, then something here we are doing wrong. And if you keep quiet, you are tantamount to causing the downfall of this industry. That's basically the point I'm making. What is being done to ensure that the minister and the department out there understands what is happening, or you're just keeping quiet to let this industry slide down the dump? And that's the impression I'm getting, if you look at the figures I've quoted, and on the basis that those figures are correct.
Honorable Makabula. Thank you, Chair. We understand what is happening in the industry, and what I would like to say is that at least there is something that they make. Whereas there is a lot of problems in terms of board situation and the like, but at least they show up. So some other things we have to recommend. But we said check up and try to come up with the entire information. We'd also like to our next meeting. We'd also like to see the CEO be present with you when you come to present. And I don't think you are that much out of the way. Indeed, we felt that no, if you can check up and just work, and there is something that you go to get in. So I thank you, Chair.
Good. I think the sentiments are quite clear from the portfolio committee. Maybe you want to add to that?
Sure. I think I will mess up if I have to add on this. I think some of the things that have been articulated by honourable member praising me, I think that will address the things. Those are the challenges that we have already identified, that the diamond industry was hit hard. But it is both sides, whether the industry also is willing to pursue a can promote the government mandate and agenda. It's a question of engaging with one another. That's one of the things that I've realized. It's not just from the regulator. It's also from the history. Where this industry comes from. So I really don't want to go into it. It don't help us. All we have to do is to see the measures of how to improve things. Thank you.
The idea of getting some form of the discussion in the industry, does it appeal to you? And if so, are you able to host that? I'll tell you why. We have made it our business to understand each and every commodity in this country. We do have diamonds. We do have diamonds in the mainland. We do have diamonds in the sea. Those marine diamonds, particularly in your Atlantic coastal belt. We know also that there are certain companies that are playing monopoly in terms of concession. That they are not developing the rights that they are granted in terms of the ore deposits that are there. For various reasons. But also we've made it our business to look at what is the international trend. What position does South Africa occupy in terms of producing diamonds 5 to 10 years ago and currently? And we've been taking a serious diamond, syrup, as honorable members have said. And we've then felt that let's look at closer. What happened in the past 2-3 years? What is the picture then? And what is the picture now? So hence I'm asking, because we are not going to leave the situation unarrested as it is now. And I mean, if you look at that comparison, where Botswana has got 26,000 odd in terms of skills that have been developed through beneficiation, and you look at South Africa, you compare that.
That robust engagement with the industry engage to find problems with the producer. We have already started with that. It might be one meeting recently, but that engagement is in our plan to robustly engage the entire. I've spoken with champions of those industries, one, two, it's a process, one or two, and you will hear from them what the difference is now. But we cannot achieve now, we can start. So unfortunately, I can't confirm any results now, but I think there is a positivity together in the case that we can change the situation.
Okay.
Honourable
members,
I would
offer
a quick one to you, Chair. I was about to take a picture. I might have gotten distracted when you raised a pivotal question that was seeking to understand the readiness and preparedness of the institution from all fronts. I didn't get the layman's answer, which would take care of our anxiety as we progress from the corrective actions to the strat plan. You might have got the answer from the chair so quickly. What was it?
Minus the whispering. Also, you can't ignore a lady when she wants to push in here.
Time for everything.
No, yes. I think the sense I'm getting is that there is a new approach that is beginning to emerge from within the regulator. There is this understanding that there's a need for us to focus and engage the role player in the industry. Apparently, there's already a start that the regulator has already begun to engage with some of the role players. And what we have been suggesting to the regulator is something that they must go back in their board and consider, because you would need at some stage to have some form of a symposium pertaining to this industry, a day or so that you emerge there with renewed commitment in terms of the way forward and the direction that we must take. That's the sense I'm getting from the CEO. You as he is in the position, and given that approach, I was looking at us getting into their threat plan, see what are these holes that, what are these shortcomings that the CEO has identified, correct that, and then move forward. I'm not sure if that answers you.
Yes, sir, I think it does. This is the threat plan that has been approved by the minister. I was raising this with all the concerns that have been raised, including the processes that the entity is still embarking on to correct the wrongs of the past. Because really, if you look at the strat plan and look at finding number one, it's difficult to balance those, because how do you begin with your strat plan without this having been corrected? You know? So.
No, I think we've given them instruction more than anything to say within the time period today. They said 60 days? So as soon as you receive your responses, as soon as you are clear, you write back to Parliament. Giving us those explanations connected, I think, with that. I'm sure by now we are at a comfortable position, not a position that we can say we're happy, but in a comfortable position for us to move ahead. Is the theory right? Okay. Before you give us your third plan, shall we take a 10-minute tea break and come back and listen to your third plan, and immediately after you, we listen to State Democrats. Thank you, Honourable Member.